Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on? This is Matt from flipweekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. If you're new here, I go to garage sales and thrift stores and I find items to resell online for a profit. Now, you would see the title of this week's podcast is all about getting into an argument with an eBayer. This is somebody that has come to my listing and has asked for what is essentially a handout. Now, I'm going to spoil a few things. I found a Sony VHS player in a Savers thrift store. You would know that I love my VHSs to flip. You can usually find them for under $10. In this case, I found it for $15. And you can always list them up for at least $100. Now, that's what I'm all about. I love finding cheap items and selling them for an average sale of $100 or more. Now, I don't know if it's because I grew up with a single mom. I don't know if it's because this interaction took place late at night after a few bourbons. I don't like handouts. I'm an adult. I would do everything possible to avoid a handout. We live in a world that is becoming increasingly more difficult to not only get ahead, but to survive on a day-to-day basis. So if you're selling on eBay, it might be because it's your main source of income. It might be because you're selling items from around the house to pay your bills. Or if you're a Flip Weekly reader, you might have started a side hustle to help offset the cost of living. What happens when someone comes along and sees one of your items, asks for a discount, and then states their case? That's exactly what happened this week. So the Sony VHS player, within a few hours of it being listed, I got a message from an eBayer, and I'm going to quote it verbatim. Quote, $50 for disabled pensioner. I gave new one in box later model Sony VHS last year to Vinny's. Wish I now kept it, John. I'm making a few assumptions here. I'm assuming John is sitting in his multi-million dollar house after reaping the benefits of previous governments and is now asking for $50 for an item that's priced up at $120. He's also mentioned he's disabled. He's also mentioned he's a pensioner. And he's also mentioned that he's a charitable guy because he's given his last one to Vinny's. Look, I myself make charitable donations. I empty out my wallet if I see someone approaching me in public asking for a handout. You know, if you go to Savers Hoxton Park, Savers Preston, there's always that one guy that's coming to clean your windshield as you're approaching to turn back onto the road to Liverpool. I'm always winding down my window, giving some money, but the light's always too quick for my windshield to get clean. So when I receive a message like this on eBay, I don't know, it doesn't sit right with me. So the eBay user John, not going to say his username, sent through that message. He's asking for $50 for a $120 item. It's a poorly written message, and he's making insinuations about himself. Now, he's allowed to do this, right? You're allowed to make an offer on an item. But I don't agree with this sort of charity. And especially when I look on his profile and I can see he is selling items that are worth over $10,000. Now, he goes on to say, and I quote, I got class 4 chronic heart disease, my friend. I'm not a tight person. I every few months give good quality items from my home to Vinny's, as many Australians struggling to live out here. Now, this sort of entitlement has triggered something within me. I replied with something I maybe shouldn't have, but it is the truth. I'm selling a VHS player. I'm not offering food or a place to sleep, and your health problems are irrelevant. I mean, I have these sort of conversations with friends all the time who are working in, you know, customer-facing roles. They're abused on their phones. They're behind the counter getting constantly demeaned, forced to be friendly and politically correct because, you know, the customer is always right. But I refuse with the niceties when it comes to entitlement. So I replied to this guy, why should I care about your health conditions, John? I was at 12:02 a.m., but to be frank, I do not give a fuck. John has replied to me almost instantly saying, wow, you got bad attitude. Good night, mister. And I just replied to John saying, stop trying to get things cheaper by playing the disabled pensioner card. I don't know if these insinuations about himself are correct. He might be a disabled pensioner. He might have given away a VHS player to Vinny's recently. I don't know. It's impossible to tell. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that everything he has said is a lie. But if he's telling the truth, he's a fucking idiot for doing that and then coming back needing to buy one again. And also laying down his case to try and get something more than half off. Now, I'm of the generation where university degrees, they don't guarantee jobs. And income doesn't guarantee a roof over your head with our current housing crisis. The basic cost of living is 10 times worse than it was 10 years ago. And the future, I mean, some would describe as being quite bleak, right? So can you get a VHS player with a $70 discount and a sob story? I'm sorry, no, you can't. You can get a response from someone with a quote-unquote bad attitude, though. And he's replied to me, and I quote, "I am disabled, mate. Do you treat parents and grandparents like this? Your mother must be so proud of you. You go around getting all this old crap of people, beat them down to tiny dollars, and then proud to sell the 20 to 30 year old stuff, crazy money. Unsure how you put your head on your pillow of a night. Buster." He's called me Buster. It proves that this is an old guy. Nobody young talks like this. And I left it at that. I blocked the buyer and you can't hear from them after that. They can't purchase your products after that. But it just didn't sit right with me. And you might be thinking, you know, you should have just blocked them after the first message. But again, it's late at night. Woodford Reserve is going down nicely. And laying your sob story on somebody, it is, in a way, selfish. It's rude. You are putting that person in a position where they have to essentially accept that they need to give you something because you have an issue, or you're going to make them feel uncomfortable by having to say no to somebody who is a disabled pensioner down on their luck or whatever. But yeah, I think about this all the time when friends are getting abused on the phone from elderly Australians because they have something wrong with them and they think that is okay to then abuse, demean, but it's not. If you're buying something on eBay, I do not give a fuck if you have something wrong with you. Unless I'm in the business of dishing out drugs, pharmaceuticals, things that can help save your life, then you can tell me about your health problems and how I am killing you by not selling an item cheap. But if it's for a VHS player, give me a fucking break. You do not have to tell me you have a class 4 chronic heart disease. Why the fuck should I give a fuck about that? Tell me why. You cannot say I'm not a tight person and then offer and then lowball the fuck out of somebody. I mean, you are being a tight person. I can't deal with it. This is going to go into secondhand opinions. Let's just get that out of the way now. The question for secondhand opinions this week is, should you give discounts to eBay users who claim to be disabled, on welfare, a senior or a pensioner? The two options you can vote on flipweekly.com is, yes, I'd give a discount. No, I wouldn't give a discount. Now, this isn't an attack on older people. This is an attack on a segment of that population, a segment that thinks that they are entitled to things. It's just like when older people talk about the younger generation. You can blanket statement them by saying the younger generation, or you can choose a segment of that. I'm not saying the older generation is entitled. I'm saying this specific portion is. So don't come at me if you think that I'm attacking old folks. I'm not. But with that said, with that venom out of my mouth, it's gone. We need to be a bit more positive because, to be honest, this week has been really good for both sales and for finds in the thrift store. So let's take a quick break. I'm going to pause this recording and come back with a smile on my face, and we're going to get straight into what I bought this week. And there are some insane finds. All right, thanks to the power of editing, I am back and we are here with some crazy, crazy finds. Now, the first item, it's something that made me conflicted. Now, I've said before that I hate this category, but I think what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. But in this case, it's what happens when I come across an ultra rare high value item, but it's a goddamn puzzle. That's right, at a Savers thrift store, I found a set of puzzles. Now, these aren't your ordinary puzzles, no. These are beaten up, they're dirty, They look like fucking baked bean tin cans. They're from the 80s. However, I guarantee they will sell quickly. Let me tell you why. They are foot rot flats puzzles. Jigsaw puzzles. The comic book that I told you about before, where if you find all 27 issues, they can sell for over $1,000. Yes, they also made puzzles. They make other merchandise and collectors fucking love them. So yes, this comic made puzzles and they sold them in these tin cans. I'm not joking. The bottom of them is literally like fucking tin, like rusted old tin. They look like paint tins. And I swear, I think somebody stored these in their garage, like right next to the paint tins. Neither were in the best condition. I found three. One of them was caked in dirt, and the other had its lid caved in. But both seemed to be fully sealed. They had plastic around them. The third one, it was in even worse condition. It looked like something had dropped onto it, and the side was all caved in. But they were listed in Savers for $5.99 each, and we do not have a single active listing on eBay at the time. But if we check out the sold listings, we have five. And you know what? Most of them are on bid. And the bids, there's like 32 bids on one of these. They all sell for around the $100 mark, if not a bit more. This one was $105 with 32 bids plus $14 postage. Now, if you're not familiar with foot rot flats, jump onto Google, give it a search. It's a New Zealand-based comic. It has a dog in it. I don't really know the theme of these comics, but yeah, they're really collectible. If you find them in thrift stores in the comic book section, you can sell them for big money if you find later issues. I'm sure if you follow resellers online, you would have seen them come across this, especially within Australia and New Zealand. But yes, they make merchandise. I mean, you can look on sold listings for foot rot flats and find a sold coffee mug for $150. So it's something you need to familiarize yourself with. I found them in the toy section of the Savers, not in the puzzle section. I don't know why. And I was just immediately able to spot them. I found the foot rot flats logo, sort of like a bubble font. And I knew that these were going to be good. So we have the sold comps at around $100 each. I'm thinking like, yes, we can sell these, and we can sell these for good money, because one of them, well, I mean, all of them were technically factory sealed, except I would say only one of them would pass the test. The other two were just in too bad a condition to say that they were like factory sealed. There was like a gap that maybe puzzle pieces could have came out. So I would only list one as factory sealed. Now, that's what we're going to have to do, because we do not want to flood the market all of a sudden with three jigsaw puzzles that had never come up before. We need to play this smart. So here's what we do. And this is a lesson to you as well, if you ever find rare items and you don't want to list them all up at once, because you might flood the market, drive the price down. You're doing more harm to yourself than good. So I'm going to be starting with the fully sealed puzzle first. I'm going to put it up with a buy it now price of $200. Now, from what's available with eBay data, none have sold for that amount in the past, but there's no active listings. And with the last one receiving a lot of bids and a sale price of just over $100, we're going to take a shot. And I truly do believe that the first is going to sell for $200, or at least close to it. So that is going to put me in the profit already. And then what we're going to do is we're going to list up the other two together in an auction with a 99-cent starting bid. And just for fun, because we're already in the profit, just for fun, we're going to see what that gets up to. I'm going to include postage. So it's going to be completely free postage. 99 cents. If there's only one bid, it'll sell for a dollar. But I want to see what that goes for. So stay tuned to the newsletter, to social media, and to this podcast. As soon as that first one is sold for $200 or close to it, I have the draft listing ready to go, and I'm going to put it up. 99 cents. I mean, if you're a foot rot flats collector and you're listening to this, you might be able to get yourself a deal. I think the most difficult question, though, would be, if I found these open, would I have bought them? Because they're 500-piece jigsaw puzzles, and do I really want to count 500 pieces only to come up one short? Basically, again, because I've done that before. I mean, would you do that? Would you buy the open jigsaw puzzle knowing that if it's complete, it could sell for at least $100. It's a gamble. I personally wouldn't bother doing it again. I've done it time and time before, and it always pisses me off. Jigsaw puzzles take me forever because I'm constantly stopping to tear my own fucking hair out, scream into the void about how much I hate my life. But maybe you would enjoy doing them. 500 piece puzzles to come up one short. Does that sound like fun to you? I don't know. But we're going to move on to the next item, and it's something that I never thought I would buy. I mean, if you take a guess, I've just gone from puzzles you know that I hate. You might be thinking something, I don't know, like a Barbie doll or a, I don't know, some other toy. No, this was something that I honestly really never thought I would be reselling, and it's makeup. Yes, it is makeup, it is foundation. I do not know what foundation is, but let me tell you something. I've been watching a reseller on Instagram. Her name is Heather. You can follow her on Instagram if you search for Cosmic Deal Heather. I think that's what her Instagram username is. She has a TikTok, she has a YouTube, she puts out great content. Now, the stuff that she has success with are smaller items that sell for a lot of money, and that is everything that I love. She has so much success in the grab bags at Savers, or in America, Goodwill. And I thought I would try myself, you know, here in Australia. She finds like items like skincare, little tubes of skincare cream, or even sunscreen, vintage makeup, all in these bags. They get put into these little grab bags, and I see the sale prices on her Instagram. I convert it to Aussie dollars, and I'm thinking, wow, these returns are amazing. Now, the problem is I'm a middle-aged, straight white dude in Australia, and I know nothing about makeup, absolutely nothing about makeup. The one thing I do know, and it's something that you may be able to learn, or maybe something that you're good at, is spotting good packaging and good branding. So I found this grab bag, and it had a little box in it. It was maybe 10 centimeters long. I could feel that it was a bit heavy, and the grab bag was $8.50. The brand that I saw, and I'm probably going to fuck up the pronunciation, was called Il Maquillage. Now, it's a foundation called Woke Up Like This. I mean, if the end result of putting this on is anything what I look like as soon as I wake up, I do not know why people would buy this. And it might seem a bit risky for me to be spending $8.50 on a box of foundation when you can't see inside of it. You know, the grab bags are sealed. You're not supposed to open them up. I don't want to be that person that rips it open, puts it back on the hook, and then everything inside falls out. And you combine that with going outside your regular niche and picking up a product you know nothing about. But to be honest, the only real risk for me here was if the bottle was half empty, and I'll tell you why. We lower our risk by checking out if things are selling on eBay, and if they are selling, what's the sell-through rate? Because this bottle sells as high as $74, and the sell-through rate is 184%. Now that is good. It's really fucking good. To give you a comparison, the Nintendo 64 console, something that every single reseller on social media would pick up if they found one in a garage sale, has a sell-through rate of 86.79%. So this makeup, this specific brand of foundation, its sell-through rate is double what a Nintendo 64 console is. Now, I don't know why it has such a high sell-through rate. I don't know if it like magically fixes your face when you put it on in the morning, if that's even how it works, if it even goes on your fucking face. I have no idea. But knowing that it has a sell-through rate that is double what a Nintendo 64 console is, the holy grail of every garage sale, I know I'm going to pick this up. I just have to hope that when I get it home, it's a full bottle so I can sell it as, you know, brand new, because the box on the outside looked brand new. And I mean, it's a reminder that there's money to be made in every single category. It's important to go outside of your comfort zone so you can expand what you know. Like if I go to a garage sale now, I know I can look for foundation and do some comp research. I know that if I spot Il Maquillage at a garage sale or at a thrift store again, that it's going to be good money. Like, I don't know anything about the brand, about the makeup, about the foundation, but if I'm able to turn this $8 into $70, then honestly, who cares? And by the way, these grab bags at Savers, they're filled with the most random useless shit ever. I mean, they're putting this brand new foundation bottle in the same bag as like this empty tin. It had like one of those fidget popper toys. It had like a pair of tiny scissors in it. It's just, they're always so bizarre. And I'm just thinking, like, most people that buy these grab bags, it's for one item, right? When you get the rest of the items home, what are you going to do with them? What am I going to do with a fidget popper toy? Like, am I just going to re-donate it to Savers and keep this loop going where this fidget popper toy just goes into like another bag and it just gets bought again and then re-donated again? It's just an endless cycle of, I mean, this fidget popper toy has gone from home to home and it's just never going to find its forever home. It's quite sad, actually. But yeah, really weird, those grab bags, but they're worth looking into. And to be honest, I'm looking in them more and more now, after, you know, major props, major thanks out to Heather on Instagram for showing those finds, because they're making me money. And you should go check her out. Tell her Flip Weekly sent you, and start looking in them yourself. You can make some good money, especially if you know about makeup and you know about those sort of brands. Like, if you're a woman and you haven't gone out to the thrift store yet, go out there and look for the brands that you pay good money for, or the brands that you would pay good money for if you had the money. You know what I mean? Now, the next item is something I know a lot about. You know, I collect my media players, my old school media players, and I honestly couldn't pass up this Facebook Marketplace deal because it's a good lesson for you, right? I found a second generation iPod Shuffle on Marketplace for $5. It was literally up the street from me, so I do not care about having to go and pick this up. Now, you can usually find these iPods cheap on Marketplace. And the reason you can do that is because they're old, and in most cases, they're missing the charger and the earphones. Now, I don't think I should have to explain what an iPod is to most people, but these old Shuffles, the input for the earphones is not the same input for an iPhone now. So people, they lose these sort of earphones, they lose the chargers. They're always so small, the chargers. And then there's no way to really know that these iPods work anymore. So people chuck them up on Marketplace really cheap and you can get a good deal for them. Now, I know we all like to complain, or at least I do, about planned obsolescence with big consumer tech companies now. If you don't know what that is, it's why you need to get a new iPhone every fucking 2 years because the battery or your phone just dies. It's the process of making your technology die, so you go back, you pay for another one, and the big tech companies make more money. I just realize I'm sounding very conspiratorial in this podcast. I'm using the words that that some of these conspiracy podcasts fucking use. I tell you, I'm not like that. But the earlier products, especially the iPods, they're reliable, they're battle hardened, they work, and they don't break. Remember, Apple's marketing back in the day, real back in the day when Jobs was still alive, it was summed up as, and I quote, "It just works." This was back when everyone was having problems with Windows computers. They had little issues with system updates, with software, and things were like crashing and burning. And then you had Apple coming out with their iMac and just saying, "It just works. You turn it on, everything just works." So they sort of bled into the iPods, and the iPods just work too. I wasn't hesitant to pull out some gold coins to buy this for $5 because I know that when I get it home and I use the chargers and the earphones that I have laying around, that it's just going to work. And what do you know? It works fine. There's no issues whatsoever. It's a lime green iPod, and you can usually sell these for about $50, if not a tiny bit more, if you pair them with a charger, earphones, and if they're specifically like a rarer color. Lime green is sort of rare. I mean, not so much rare, but you don't find it as much out in the wild or on eBay for that matter. So when you buy this, you might be contemplating just immediately listing it up by itself. You might say it's tested, but you need to slow down. And this is why you need to slow down, because you want to pair it at least with a charger so it appeals to the buyer. Now, if you look on eBay for sold comps, you'd be able to see that people buy like these mini docks for the chargers. Now, the iPod Shuffle is the one that doesn't have a screen. They're very, very small. They're like 7 centimeters long, like 5 centimeters tall. They have a couple of buttons for like next song, back, play, whatever. So they sit on these docks, but these docks, they're not special. They're not official Apple products. These docks you can buy on AliExpress for like $1.50. AliExpress is just like eBay, but it's China-based, and you're buying in most cases directly from the factory. Now, when you're buying from a website like that, it's going to take a bit longer to arrive to you because you're buying from China. But there is no reason why you can't spend a couple of bucks on these chargers, have it sent to you, and then you can list it up with the charger, with the earphones, and you can command a higher price because the buyer doesn't have to do anything else except put their music on the iPod. So yes, all you need to do is practice something that many people no longer have, and that is patience. So once it arrives, make sure the cables work. You need to do that. List it on eBay, and you're ready to turn your what is now like a $7 iPod into $50 or more. Now, just a quick tip for you is that when you're buying cables, do like the tiniest bit of research and look for the specific cable type. So a lot of sellers would put a premium on items if it's listed as what it does versus what it is. For example, if you searched for iPod Shuffle second generation charger, you're going to get a premium listing. But if you search for its proper name, which is a USB to 3.5 millimeter cable, you're going to get it cheaper. They do this because these listings are generally visited by less informed consumers, and they're more likely to pay more for a specific use cable. So do your research. Oh my God, now this is sounding very conspiracy. Do your research. but do the tiniest bit of research and look for the specific type of cable. Now, do that for cables in general. Don't buy like a Sony PlayStation 2 charger. No, look for this actual cable name. Look at what it does. And you're going to be able to find it much, much cheaper. So these next two items that I found, they're brand new and sealed. And it's not something you see in thrift stores all the time. Brand new and sealed video games and accessories found in the board game section. So I was surprised that I was able to find these, because in most cases, the expensive stuff, it's placed inside and it's marked up. So I was really surprised to like see it out the back right near the exit. Now, the two packs that I found, they were a Wii U Skylanders Supercharger Starter Pack, and the other one was a PlayStation 4 Disney Infinity Star Wars Starter Pack. You would be familiar with these packs if you're a video game reseller or you've sold video games in the past. I'm sure you've seen Skylanders figures in the thrift store before. They're always priced up. They're little figures that you put on top of like a base, and you have that character then in the game. So there was two of these. They're brand new and sealed, like I said, but I had to pay up just a tiny bit. One was $35 and the other was $20. Now, we know, because we're avid listeners of the Flip Weekly podcast, we know that thrift stores don't price if something is sealed. They don't take into account the pre-owned versus sealed. So if we look at comps, for example, for this Skylanders pack, pre-owned sold comps $42, brand new and sealed $150. So we know that we'd be able to get the $150. The thrift store probably priced it based on that $42. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this. You can see the photos on Flip Weekly. But the bought price for Wii U, $35. The listed price, $135. So there'll be, after eBay fees, $62 profit. The PlayStation 4 Disney Infinity Star Wars pack, Bought price was 20, listed price was 129, the profit $73. So the total cost of goods sits at $55 and our profit is going to be about $135. Now we know with video games they sell quickly, especially when they're brand new and sealed, so this is not a risky purchase. It's going to go out the door and it'll go out the door quickly. But the thing to remember, the thing to put in your brain is that there's a huge difference between pre-owned and opened and brand new and sealed. We know that, thrift stores don't know that, so that's how you can get an advantage. Do it with video games too and any accessories. I've had luck before when I found a PlayStation 2 remote, just a simple remote. I think I bought it for like $5. You can buy them opened for like $20 on eBay, but brand new and sealed, you can get $100 for it. I've had that before. It's like the first ever remote I've ever sold. So just know, brand new and sealed video games sell for more. Now the next item, it wouldn't be an issue of Flip Weekly or a podcast episode without a VCR flip. Now I told you about it at the beginning of this podcast, what happened. I found the Sony player for $15 in a Savers. It didn't come with any of those cables, the RCA cables, the AV cables, whatever you want to call it. Sort of makes me a bit hesitant to purchase because a thrift store isn't going to be testing that out if it gets a picture. They're going to turn it on, see that it gets power and sell it like that. But I brought it home and gave it a test and it worked without any problems. And the specific model, it didn't have any active or sold comps, so I just whacked it up for that $120 plus post. I was going to do $150 with free post, which is usually what I do, but this unit, it was significantly larger than others that I've sold, so putting it for $150 with free shipping, it's like playing Russian roulette with that shipping charge. I just wasn't going to do that, and that this sold within 24 hours, so it was a good idea to do that. But the other thing is, it didn't come with those cables, like I said. Now, I usually have them laying around, but you can get them on eBay or Amazon. You can get them next day. They come pretty cheap. But this is a lesson for me too. Don't underestimate those junky places, those junky sections in Vinny's thrift stores. The stuff where they import their own shit and they start selling them. I mean, you can't find, in most cases, anything worth reselling there. But I was able to find, for $4, these 14K gold-plated audio cables. I don't know if they're gold-plated or not. But for $4, it's cheaper than what it would cost to buy them on eBay, and it was quicker, and they were brand new too. So funnily enough, they worked perfectly, and they helped me sell this $15 VCR unit for $120. But yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. You know about VCRs. I don't have to drill into you enough. I don't have to drill into you anymore about buying these things. But just know that if I find them, I'm going to pick them up because they sell really quickly. Like I said, this one sold within a day. And I find them fun to buy too because I always chuck in like a different VHS into the player. And I don't know, it gives me like a hit of nostalgia. Now the next item, you might be getting sick of Pokemon content, but you should not get sick of reselling that content. I came across these two Pokemon DVD bundles, right? Now I'm not talking about like 15 different DVD cases in the DVD section. No, these were placed alongside the jigsaw puzzles and one of them was sealed, the other one wasn't. I took them both down and they look like giant Pokemon Pokedexes. Now, the Pokemon Pokedex is the device used within Pokemon, within the Pokemon universe to identify Pokemon. So I had no idea really what they were until I opened them up. Picture a standard sized board game. That's what these looked like. And then picture like a Pokedex. That's what the branding, that's what everything looked like. So the one that was sealed, it actually told me a bit about this, about what the item was. And it was a collector's Pokedex book limited edition. It had 18 discs inside and it had every single episode from a specific series of Pokemon. It also had detailed maps, it had information, it had Pokemon stats and character profiles, all that sort of stuff. So it's basically episodes of Pokemon on DVD in a cool sort of hardcover case. That's really all it is. One of them had 18 discs, the other one had 22 discs. So common sense told me that they would be worth more than the $15 stickers that they had on them. Especially with one that was sealed and the fact that they came out in 2011. These look really cool. If you want to check them out, go onto the Flip Weekly newsletter. I'm sure these are going to sell. I'm sure they're going to sell quickly. I think I priced these up at around the $120 mark. I think the sealed one might have been $150. But yeah, $15 into at least $100 for both of these. They're going to be really good. And like I said, the board game and jigsaw puzzle to me is always exciting because I like to see what mistakenly gets put there. And in this case, a 2011 limited edition Pokedex book. Like, this is just so cool, right? Now, let's quickly get through the rest here. The next is a dinosaur category. Now, last week I said that I was writing Savers off, but Savers has actually been really good lately. The dinosaur category, specifically Jurassic World and Jurassic Park, it's really good to buy into. And this week I was lucky enough to stumble across what is a dinosaur hand puppet. Now, the character is the character Blue from the Jurassic World franchise. It was one of the main raptor characters in the very first reboot of the Jurassic World. And these hand puppets, they were made for kids. I'm guessing they were made for kids because I really struggled to get my hand in it. But your arm goes into like this ranger's glove, like this ranger's protective glove that the characters use when they're handling baby raptors on the movie. And it looks like you're holding the baby dinosaur. So inside of the glove, there's like this joystick trigger system, and it operates the eyes, it operates the mouth and the neck. And it has a battery pack installed, so it makes noises and sound effects too. It's really cool. Like, it is honestly, it's genuinely pretty cool. The eyes blink, the mouth opens and shuts, and you can also sort of like push the joystick forward, and the raptor like moves its neck forwards and backwards, like almost as if it's like lunging at you. And the thing is, like, when you're wearing this glove, it legitimately looks real. Like, this is like a life-sized baby raptor. So it was funny just walking to the front of Savers, walking past the clothing section, carrying this little baby raptor, and you walk past like the changing mirrors, and I'm just looking in there, and it looks like I'm carrying a fucking dinosaur back to the counters to check out. But it was an awesome pickup. Like, I bought it for $7.99, and the sell-through rate on this is insane. It's over 100%. It sits at 163%. The comps are really, really good. I checked it out just within Australia, and it sells for $150 plus post. So this category is not something to ignore. And, you know, I talk about sell-through rate all the time. And if you don't know what it is, it really is essential to know and to understand if you're reselling items. So if you go onto flipweekly.com, you'll be able to find the eBay sell-through rate calculator that I created. There's an article there explaining with examples what sell-through rate is. Go onto Flip Weekly, underneath resources, click on that sell-through rate calculator, have a read. You'll understand what I'm talking about from now on when I talk about sell-through rate. So this thing is going to sell. It's going to turn $8 into $150. Dinosaurs, man, do not sleep on dinosaurs. Now, this is the very last item that I bought for the week, and it is also stepping outside of my comfort zone, but there's a good lesson here. So if you saw a creepy old man, creepy looking old man, walking through like the women's section or the kids section or the dress up section at a Salvo's lately, you do not have to worry because it was just me. So what I was able to find was just as foreign as makeup, but I was still proud of the find. So we have a bomber jacket and leggings, and it's for a cosplay. They're bright yellow. The cosplay character is from Kill Bill. It's Uma Thurman's character. All yellow, the bomber jacket, the pants. It's what she wears in the movie. And I've actually talked about cosplay items before in the Flip Weekly newsletter, issue number 43. And really, these sort of like hobbyists, fandom type things, they always command high prices. So if you look at this cosplay outfit that I bought for $10 on eBay, we have sold comps all over $100. There's one for $168, there's one for $126. Now, just imagine the selling price when I chuck on my fucking Australia tax. The tax that we pay for living on a fucking island where nobody buys cool shit. But yeah, that's an insane amount of money for what's essentially like a fake leather jacket and really cheap leggings. I mean, I know they're cheap leggings because unfortunately there's a hole in them and I don't know how to fix that. I mean, I know theoretically how to fix it, but I don't know how to operate like a sewing machine or a needle and thread. And, you know, I haven't picked up a needle and thread since like the few weeks we had in a sewing class in school, where I'm 99% sure I failed at making like a fucking pillow. I don't know. How the fuck do you fail at making a pillow? It's two pieces of fabric, like sewing the outside of it and stuffing shit inside of it. I don't know how, but I'm sure I failed at making a pillow because I never brought one home. You know, there's nothing around my house that is like, oh, I made that. Now that I think about it, I don't think there's anything in my home that I can point to and say I made that. I'm looking around, there is not. There's literally nothing. So yes, I can't fix the leggings, so I'm going to have to put them up as like a giant hole in the leggings, but people are selling like the bomber jacket by itself for like $150. So if I put this up as the set for $150, I'm competing against just the leather jacket, and I think somebody will buy that because it's the set. As you get the leggings included, and I don't know. I think these cosplayers, they're quite talented. They're, you know, a lot of them make their own costumes, and they're into sewing, and they're into like this sort of arts and crafts shit. So I'm sure somebody will be able to fix this. Whoever buys it, they're probably just going to get like yellow thread and stitch it back up. Like, it's one step too many for me. So yeah, I'm gonna make easily over $100 on this. When I talk about this item, this should pique your interest in costumes, in cosplay. There are specific sections of thrift stores where you find all of the costumes, so you should be visiting that section and looking for potential gold mines. Like, not the, you know, not the really cheap shit, not like the Batman outfits that you put it on and you look like you look fucking stupid. I'm talking about things that are just a tiny bit higher quality. So, and if you score something like this, it'll be 100% worth it. I mean, they don't usually have that many costumes, so you're going to be spending, what, like 60 seconds on it? Ignore the tatty shit, ignore those worthless superhero costumes. Look for this sort of, like, a bit niche stuff, and if it looks cool, if it looks unique, give it a search on Google Lens and see what you can find. We're moving on to what we sold this week. I know this podcast has dragged out a bit, so we're going to get through these. You're going to learn a thing or two here. So the first item that sold was a Nokia 3315. It was complete in box. You know, when I was in high school, everyone had one of these. I think we moved on to like the Motorola Razr V3 afterwards. But the Nokia 3315 or like the 3310 was another popular one, but it was less cool, I think. It was an introductory phone that I think younger people liked because you could like change out the case. You could, you know, reflect your personality, showcase your personality. It was virtually indestructible. And I found it for $25, and, you know, I wasn't hesitant to pick it up for that because it's gone on to sell for $150. I had to relist it, though, because a person in India bought it, but they never ended up paying for it. So, yeah, I had to relist it. I relisted it back in May 28th. So it sold less than a month later after that for, yeah, massive amounts of profit there just for a old school Nokia 3315. This was the phone that was sold at the thrift store as a collectible, but they wrote on the box like collectible. Just some of the things that go through these people's brains, I swear to God, like, I don't know if they're thinking properly. Why would you write collectible on a collectible? It just devalues the collectible. Do you not understand how this shit works? But yeah, it was a sad day. I sort of wanted to keep it for myself, but you know, what am I going to do? These phones, they don't work anymore. You know, all these old school phones, they run on 3G, and that sort of cellular technology doesn't exist anymore. All you can do with these phones is turn it on and play Snake. It would be a good conversation piece, you know, chuck it up on your shelf when friends come over. They're like, oh, you have a 3315, and then you can say, yeah, turn it on, play Snake, whatever. But the next thing that sold, I talked about it this week, it sold in 3 days, and it was the Il Makiage foundation, $8 into $70 for that makeup. And I mean, am I really going to be doing a deep dive into makeup now? Like, it's sold in 3 days, $8 into $70, and the foundation, it's like so small that it's not even going to be hard to ship. Chuck some bubble wrap, put it in like one of those prepaid satchels, and it's off. Like, it's easy. You don't have to make up like your own little box like you do with the VHS players. Like, it's always so fucking annoying having to make your own boxes, but this small shit, like, does all makeup sell like this? Did I just get lucky and find like the one piece of makeup that sells quickly? Piece of makeup. If you have any insights into this category whatsoever, please hit me up. Again, this is your reminder to be looking in those grab bags for items like this. High value items that are small, that fit into, you know, the grab bags are what I'll be looking for from now on. And if I have to become an expert in makeup, I'll fucking become an expert in makeup, right? Like I said, the VHS player, it sold. It was 15 into 120 plus postage. Made my own box for it. It was actually sold in less than 48 hours. I said before it sold in 24 hours. But yeah, I had to deal with that entitled buyer. I might have made like a bigger deal out of, you know, what should have been just like a block and move on, but yeah, it triggered something in me. So we're not going to get back into that because we're going to be positive and we're going to be happy. And we're going to be happy because the next item was $12 into $100, and it was a Jurassic World Legacy Collection pack of toys. Now, I picked this up maybe like 3 weeks ago. It had a 21-day sell-through rate, 12 into 100. It's off to the UK, so they had to spend, you know, an extra like 50 or 60 bucks just on shipping. And yeah, the most annoying thing about this was the fact that it was like longer than the standard Australia Post boxes. So yeah, to make your own box, and if you have never done that before, moving boxes, they become your best friend. You can find them at storage places. You can go to, you know, your local timber and hardware store and you can buy them, or you can find them if they're giving them out for free. And just, you know, be prepared to use tape. You have to cut them. Use your fucking arms and legs too. And the end result is what resellers call a Franken box, you know, after Frankenstein. So yeah, do not sleep on dinosaurs, especially sealed packs. We're making good money here. And yeah, the next item is something that sort of concerned me, because the last time I sold a signed book, it was because somebody was diagnosed with blood cancer, and a signed Rod Laver book has just sold. A couple of bucks into $49.95. If somebody can please check on the health of Rod Laver, that would be great. I think the dude's almost 100 years old. He's either, you know, he's either sick and dying, or he's in the news for some reason. I think it might be because of Wimbledon. Wimbledon has just started. I don't know if they're wheeling out Rod Laver for Wimbledon. They usually only do that for the Australian Open. I don't know if the dude travels, but I guess because tennis is in the news again, somebody has wanted to read this book or collect this book. So yeah, that sold. You know I'm the king of signed books. You know that it's a good way to turn like a $5 book into $50 and up. So if you're not looking in your biographies, you need to be doing that. Now, there's a few more sales. You can check them out on the Flip Weekly newsletter. I'm not going to go into them this week. If you want to see photos, jump onto the newsletter. Make sure you follow Flip Weekly on social media. We're doing really well on TikTok right now. We've just passed 700 followers, which is great. A lot of our videos there are getting a decent amount of views. You know, I think in the past 30 days, we've had something like 60, 70,000 views. Does it translate well to like subscribers on the newsletter or listeners to the podcast? Not fucking really. It doesn't really work. But yeah, check us out on social media. All the videos are going to be filmed there. Have some interesting things in the works too. So stay tuned to that. If you like the podcast, leave a review, leave a comment, leave a rating. And any little bit helps like that. And I'll see you again next week. Thanks again for listening. This is Matt signing off. Have a great week. Enjoy your yard sales. Enjoy your thrift stores. Hit me up if you find anything cool. And I'll see you next week.
Flip, 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 fl